The Guardian.
If you run a mobile business, you need a payment solution that's simple, safe, and seamless. With Braintree, you can start accepting PayPal, Apple Pay, credit and debit cards, and more across any platform. With superior fraud protection, customer service, and fast payouts, it's the full-stack payment solution for your business. To learn more and for your first £30,000 of transactions fee-free, go to braintreepayments.com/techweekly. Not much, dog. What's up with you?
Are we not even doing the feeding line anymore?
Nah. Welcome to the fifth episode of Up Dog, an internet podcast about internet things. While it's only been a week for you, it's been two for us, which means that last week's episode didn't mention a certain pork-based viral news story.
That's probably for the best.
But Len, he...
No. I'm going to leave that. Our legal team will have a field day.
So today we're going to look at the life cycle of a meme and what it takes to kill one. Len, do you want to come round for Up Dog and chill?
Oh my god, you're so gross. But first, last week we talked about our history on the internet and we asked you about your history on the internet, and your submissions were pretty great, even though none of you admitted to writing fan fiction. I'm really, really annoyed about that because now I'm the only one.
It's still not weird. A common memory is actually one of my early ones too. A lot of people hated AOL.
Oh my god, AOL was... the worst.
Was it your first web game?
Yeah, it was my first.
Same. And so Blue City Wolf and B. Carey both mentioned specifically the AOL CDs. It seems to have been the only company that just mass mailed these bloody things. Which
Bishley was my favourite. AOL being the biggest pile of garbage. I feel you. I really feel you.
Is that your voice for just like below the line?
Oh, it's the biggest pile of garbage.
It was though. I mean, I remember it. Yeah, AOL was one of the last companies that really tried to build its own little private internet where, you know, in their dream world, you would never have gone on the web. You'd have just gone on the AOL net, and it was awful.
But we can go back further. Joshua David Ramsey shared his experience of Gopher. I have no idea what this is. He explains it was a bit like the web, except it was text-based and followed stricter rules of organization.
Gopher was like this, it was this pre-web thing, and Joshua describes that the version of Gopher that they used at his university didn't actually allow you to directly input addresses, so you would have to start at the university's Gopher site and follow links to other servers or telnet addresses until you found what you wanted. So the only way to surf the web was to find this train of links and then memorize them. And he says, like, for years after I'd used the service, I could still type out by muscle memory alone the string of about 15 to 20 keys I'd memorized to get to a list of telnet links to online games and chat servers.
Sounds like a lot of effort.
I really love the idea of an institution deciding that, like, the way to control internet use is just not let you type addresses in.
But from the deep past of the internet to a very current present.
In the beginning, there was Netflix and chill. And Netflix and chill was good. And then there were many chills, from socialism and chill to cereal cafes and chill. And they were good. And then Netflix the company heard about Netflix and chill, and then it all went to crap.
Should we explain?
Explain and chill.
Right, stop that now. Netflix and chill basically means sex. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It means sex. It is the new, do you want to come up for a cup of coffee? That's basically what it is. But the whole joke on the internet is that you said Netflix and chill. It's like, oh, but you said we'd go and watch films and you didn't have any other intentions. And it's all this like funny bits about how it's like the guy's like, hey, Netflix and chill, but we all know what that means. And the girls don't actually know what it means. But now everyone knows it means sex because the Sunday Times told us so.
And so then the next evolution of it was obviously a lot of image-based jokes about someone asking you over for Netflix and chill. So basically a lot of blokes looking skeevy. And then as with everything, it got a bit odd. And I mean, my favourite one was when he asked you to come over for socialism and chill with a picture of Jeremy Corbyn.
I mean, I would go.
Very louche.
I would go.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Jeremy Corbyn.
But Netflix and chill is dead now. Because Netflix made a Netflix and chill button and went and ruined everything.
Right, see, here's the thing. It's not even a Netflix and chill button. Not even Netflix said it was a Netflix and chill button. They just made this button, well, whether they made it or not, they made a button with like a little video, just like, oh, look at this button. It turns your phone on silent. It orders takeaway for you. So you can like really enjoy Netflix. And then suddenly all of the media decided that this was a Netflix and chill button.
The problem is it clearly was Netflix trying to jump on this bandwagon. But
no, but if they were jumping on the bandwagon, they would actually do a thing that made sense.
At the same time, if you are Netflix, you don't really want to tie your brand too heavily to a meme which is, let's have loads of casual sex. So they had this like, maybe we can play up the romance elements of Netflix and chill, despite the fact that, as a meme, Netflix and chill is kind of explicitly unromantic.
I don't know, I just think we're looking too much into it. They literally made a switch. Like, they probably had it planned before Netflix and chill, like, became the media's new thing.
No. The timing is too strong. It's not a coincidence. Netflix wanted some of that Netflix and chill love. Netflix but wanted to invite Netflix and chill over for Netflix and chill.
But there's not even... Netflix and chill isn't even mentioned in any of it. I feel very strongly about this, and I'm really angry. This is about ethics in reporting on Netflix and chill memes. Like,
It's actually about ethics in meme journalism.
Ethics and chill.
Oh, God.
So this is why it's dead.
Do brands always kill memes, though? Like,
no, see, right. I don't think brands always kill memes. Brands with bad managers and social media managers definitely do. For example, we've probably mentioned it before, like Denny's Tumblr is...
Which is weird.
But it's one of the greats of the genre, because if you look on... I can't believe I just said that.
Denny's Tumblr is one of the greats of the brands and memes genre.
It 100% is, because this is a Tumblr that speaks the language of the people who are using it. That's the point. But then when you get like stuff like this, and it's like... I realize I'm saying this on the day that The Guardian published an article about Netflix and chill. But whenever we talk about memes, we turn it into this very like straight talking media language, and it doesn't work. And that's why they die. That is why they die. And brands do it. Media do it. The only people who don't do it are the people who get it. And they tend to be the youth, the young people. Millennials.
But there's the problem with brands. Of like, I know people who have been doing social media for brands, and there is the issue of, even if you do know it and get it and use it the way you would in your personal voice, when it's coming from a corporate account and is just, even if it's not explicitly tied to selling something, it's always going to look weird. And you know, can something that was cool in youth culture ever recover from that? If Pepsi invites you over for Pepsi and chill on Twitter, like, are you?
I
ever
mean,
gonna...
but like, brands have been using. I think brands have. I've seen bits about Netflix and chill and like stuff like that. I've seen a couple use Pepe, who's the Pepe is the sad green frog, and so basically the whole thing with Pepe is great. Pepe is gross. I think he's gross. I don't know why. I just find him really creepy. But it's a great meme, because what happened was, I think a couple of brands tried to get in on Pepe posting this picture of a sad frog that's from an old webcomic. And then, like, because of that, people started saying, this is a rare Pepe. Don't repost this, because this is the rarest Pepes of them all. And I remember retweeting one where it was like, this is a rare gold Pepe. If you retweet, you will have the greatest internet karma ever. Rah, rah, rah. But that was kind of like, for me, is taking the mick out of how brands and media places actually ruin memes a little bit and kill them.
Are there any memes that have survived that usage? For me, it's Doge. Like, Doge will fundamentally never die. Doge is... It's not funny anymore. It's like, it's seven or eight layers of irony down so much that I no longer know if I post-ironically like Doge or post-post-ironic. I think I just sincerely like that small, scared-looking Shiba Inu.
You were the Doge correspondent for a while.
I managed to get permission from... I can't remember who it was, but someone high up enough in The Guardian gave me permission to byline several articles Doge correspondent. And given I've never explicitly been fired from that job, I remain The Guardian's Doge correspondent.
Hang on. We should explain Doge.
Doge is a small, scared Shiba Inu, a Japanese breed of dog, with captions superimposed over the top in broken English, such as, wow, such scared, very poke.
Fun fact, I actually interviewed the woman who owns that dog.
You did.
She's really sweet. She's just a teacher. She doesn't understand what's going on.
She's licensed the image, hasn't she? And all of the profits go to a Shiba Inu Rescue Foundation.
She's amazing. But here's the thing. Like, the minute that it was on Radio 4 with a grammatical expert explaining to a baffled John Humphreys the grammar behind Doge, that is the day that Doge died.
And yet, like, surely there has to be some aspect of internet pop culture that can survive exposure, because otherwise we don't actually have a pop culture at all. What we have is a bunch of people feeling snarky about knowing stuff that old people don't.
Well, of course the internet has its own pop culture, but the internet moves quickly. It's going to be replaced by something else eventually. Netflix and chill is the funny thing this month. It'll be something else next week.
Of course, but like pop culture, you know, inherent in pop is that thrill of the new. But pop culture also has its greats. It has its history. It has stuff that doesn't die just because it becomes widely known.
Yeah, but I don't think Doge is that.
Doge is my Beatles. What I'm saying is, is Netflix and chill bigger than the Beatles?
Oh my God.
And thus bigger than Jesus
as well. Sergeant
Pepper
and chill. Sergeant Pepper and chill. So, what have you learned today, Alex?
I've learned that sometimes it's good to let go. Sometimes a meme is dead and that's its time.
But sometimes a meme is the victim of cruel corporate murder.
The real irony, of course, is that the only other things likely to kill a meme is being covered by a podcast hosted by a broadsheet newspaper.
Sorry, Netflix and chill.
If you want to hear more from us, follow us on Twitter at UpDogCast or visit The Guardian every Friday for the latest episode. Goodbye.
I'm going to go for some Netflix and chill. But by myself. Tinder and chill.